We've been looking at these gifts of Christmas. And so far, we've looked at the gift, the first gift, first Sunday of Advent, was the gift of the promise of hope. And we looked at the story of Simeon and Anna. You know, those two older people who were waiting for the arrival of Jesus. They had been promised, and they had this hope that was inside of them that the Messiah was going to be born, and they had been promised that the Messiah would be born before they would die. And when they saw Jesus in the temple, they were just so full of hope and so full of joy. And so that was the first gift that we've looked at. The second gift that we looked at was the story of Mary and Joseph. And, you know, how the angel came to them and gave them a promise. A promise that that they would be the ones that would bring about the delivery of the Messiah. That Mary would bear, have a child, and that this child would be the Messiah, the promised one. That all their hopes and dreams of the people of Israel would be born from her womb. And Joseph, that, you know, had to come to terms with what was all happening around him. And why were they able to do what they were able to do, accept what was happening to them? It's because God brought them the gift of perfect peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the promise of peace, delivered, resilient peace that enabled them to take that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where they experienced peace in the Lord. So that brings us today to joy, the gift of joy, the third gift that we look at, and it's actually the third candle that was lit today. Yeah, right here, lit today. The candle of joy. And I've called this message today effervescent joy. You know, because that's what it's like, you know, when we are really filled with joy. It just bubbles up inside of us. But, you know, it brings us about the question, what brings you joy? Have you ever stopped to consider what brings you joy in life? And why it brings you joy? Have you ever stopped for a moment to consider that question? I think it would be a good thing to do this week, you know, as we, you know, getting down to the this is the second last week before Christmas. And, you know, what is it that really brings you joy? And why? Why do I feel this way when this or this happens in my life or I experience this? Well, in his blog post entitled C.S. Lewis on Meaning and Joy, Jacob Frollo asks the following question, okay? He says, how many times have you sat down after a good meal and thought about how good it tasted? Or how often after an enjoyable evening with friends do you sit back and think about the true meaning of your conversations? Well, most do not consider themselves philosophers reflecting upon the deeper mysteries of the universe. Many people contemplatively enjoy life in less abstract ways. We go through our days enjoying the food, the beauty that we see around us, and the pleasant conversations, while at the same time failing to explicitly contemplate why we enjoy certain things in life. Why does a good meal seem to make the world better? Why is a sunrise so appealing to us? What is it about well-written poetry that makes it so good? Why? Why? You know, in his blog, Farlow takes a deep dive into the writings of C.S. Lewis to discover what Lewis has to share about the source and meaning of joy. How many of you have heard of C.S. Lewis? Yeah, most of us have. You know, we think of the Narnia Chronicles, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia, the big thing. But he wrote hundreds of books on all kinds of other topics and things relating to the Christian life. And one of them was a book that he entitled Surprised by Joy. And in that autobiographical work, Lewis makes reference to the idea of joy being a central influence as he chronicles his journey of faith from atheism to Christianity. Okay? Before he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, before he wrote, you know, Mere Christianity, another one of his books, before he wrote anything on the Christian thing, he was a devout atheist. And in his book, Surprised by Joy, he chronicles his journey from atheism to Christianity, from having no faith to having faith and belief in God. And he says this about joy in his book. This is his definition. He defines joy as being an unsatisfied desire which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. He says, I call it joy, which is here a technical term and must be sharply distinguished both from happiness and pleasure. He says, joy in my sense has indeed one characteristic and one only in common with them, that is happiness and pleasure. The fact that anyone who has experienced it will want it again and again and again. I doubt whether anyone who has tasted it, that is joy, would ever, if both were in his power, exchange it for all the pleasures in the world. Well, what is he meaning by that? Joy is an unsatisfied desire which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. I think we all know when we've experienced joy, real joy, it transforms us. It changes us. It gives us a whole different outlook on life. When real joy, it's just something that just bubbles up and we want it more and more and more joy. And it's not just being happy. It's not just, you know, having transitory pleasures. It's something that's just that transforms us from within. That's what he's talking about. And that's what the shepherds experienced that night when they were out on the hillside watching over their flocks by night. And the story of the shepherds captures so beautifully what I think Lewis is talking about when he speaks of being surprised by true joy. So listen, as Luke tells us the story of the shepherds in chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. He says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What an unexpected event out on the nearby hillside around Bethlehem. A group of shepherds, just picture it, a group of shepherds, they're going about their business, they're keeping watch over their sheep. It's in the middle of the night when suddenly something happens that changes their lives forever. And an angel of the Lord appears in the sky, and with a blazing display of light, something they've never, ever seen before, as the glory of the Lord illuminates their surroundings, they're terrified, I'm sure. You would be terrified too if that happened. You're out in the middle of a field someplace, and all of a sudden this lights just appear from nowhere, and then an angel begins to speak to you. A being begins to speak to you. I love, you know, Charlie Brown's Christmas, and they were sore afraid. Yeah. And the angel says to them, do not be afraid. You know, as the glory of God illuminated the surrounding area, they were terrified, and I'm sure they had no idea whether they were going to live or die. So when the angel says to them, do not be afraid, I can imagine, yeah, right. Don't be afraid. I don't buy it. No. Yeah. That's easy for you to say, Ms. or Mr. Angel, whatever you are. Let me be afraid here. No, but as the shepherds pulled themselves together and they listened to the angel spoke reassuring words to them of comfort and ultimately joy. Said, do not be afraid. You have nothing to fear from me. I intend you no harm, for I bring you good news that will cause a groundswell of great joy for all people everywhere. For today, in the town of David, a Savior is born, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. You will recognize him when you see him by the following sign. You will find him as a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Now, if you're a parent, you know, you understand what I'm talking about here, what Luke's talking about here. He's saying, you know, I'm sure that you'll agree that there's no greater joy infusion than when, after a hard labor, this little baby is delivered and there is joy-filled peace and calm when you hold that newborn baby in your arms. That is joy. Joy unspeakable. I remember those four births of my kids and just the joy of just being able to hold those little babies in my arms for the first time. And now every time they give me a great big hug, you know, now that they're all grown up, it's joy. Joy. Joy is born, and you rejoice. Now, this is what was happening in Bethlehem when the angels were telling the shepherds It's time for you to go and to see this child that will be born. You know, joy was born, and the Father, our Heavenly Father, rejoiced, sending his angels to make the joyous announcement. My Son, the Messiah, the Lord, is born. And then he says, cue the angels. Cue the choir. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we read this. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. What an exclamation point to what the other angel had just said to the shepherds. It was a glorious exclamation point. This was a spectacular, memorable event for those lowly shepherds. A light and sound show they would never forget. An unbelievably transformative event. They were being pointed in the direction of Bethlehem, where they would find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. They would find not only any baby, but they would find the long-awaited Messiah. The one that Israel had hoped for so long ago. The one that was promised Prince of Peace. This little baby would be born, and they would find him in that manger. The hope of Israel, the Savior, the Lord, a revelation of God's glory that would bring peace to those who would receive him was being born at that very moment. And so Luke shares with us, you know, how back in Bethlehem things were taking place. Joy was born after a season of hard labor. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, we looked at this story last week, but I want to just repeat it again because it's the context in which Mary and Joseph found themselves. You know, they had resilient peace, you know, as God was unfolding their plan, but when this baby was born, they also had joy. And we remember that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the house of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. You know, according to the angel's declaration, joy was ready and waiting to be discovered in a manger in Bethlehem. Luke just tells us that. And according to Luke 2:15, it tells us that when the shepherds heard the angels telling them to go to Bethlehem, this was what their response was. Luke 2:15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go back to sleep, for this message isn't for us. Hey, how did that get there? No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. You know, the angels didn't ignore the message that was given to them. You know, I mean, today we have, there's all kinds of, you know, when we hear the stories, these stories, and we hear about the angels telling about Jesus, you know, coming and to the shepherds, you know, sometimes we just kind of go, meh. Let's go. Time to go back to sleep. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see there. But the angels, or the shepherds didn't disregard what the angels had told them about Jesus. And what they did was they talked amongst themselves and they said, we've got to go. We got to go and look for ourselves. See for ourselves what we've been told, if what we've been told is true. And they had to leave the field and journey to Bethlehem, not very far away. And they had to search and they had to find this baby that they had been told about. C.S. Lewis, once again, says this. He says, if you want to get warm, you stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. And what he's saying there is true, is that, you know, if we want joy, we have to find where joy comes from in our life. And I'm not just talking about happiness or pleasure. I'm talking about that true transformative joy that just bubbles up inside of us and we just can't. We just want it more and more and more. That joy that adds value to our life. If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, you must get close to or even into the thing that has it. You know, God the Father chose to give the message of joy to these shepherds. But the shepherds, when they got that message, they chose to go to Bethlehem. They chose to believe what the angel had told them. They chose to activate their faith and act on what they had heard. And by making that choice, by believing, they were able to see the truth. They found the baby Jesus right where the angel had said he would be. And joy was born in their hearts. Where do we find joy? What brings you joy? And why? And that's the question that's just going through this whole time. You know, in Luke 2, 20, 16 to 20, we're told how the shepherds visited the newborn baby, and then what they did in response. They shared the news. They spread it. This uncontainable happiness and joy, hope and faith. Luke 2, 16 to 20 says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him. They spread the word and told everybody about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And once the shepherds had tasted and seen that the Lord Jesus was good, the good news of great joy began to bubble up and overflow in their lives. They had come face to face with the source of joy, Jesus. And all they desired to do from that point on was to share this uncontainable joy with everyone who would listen to them. The gift of good news infused with great joy was not just for these shepherds. It was for all people. All people, the whole world, in all ages to come. And that includes you and it includes me today. You know, this good news is about the birth of our Savior, the Messiah was and still is the world-transforming declaration that has made an impact, left its mark for you and me today. You know, that the news that the shepherds brought, or that the angels brought to the shepherds, it's still valid for you and I today. If you really want to find joy unspeakable in your life, it's about going and finding Jesus. When we find Jesus, it's hard to explain, but a joy just comes into our life. It's surprising. It really is. This good news about the birth of Jesus is has an impact for us today. And in 1 Peter 1:3-9, the Apostle Peter shares with us what is available if we choose to taste and see that the Lord is good, if we choose to receive Jesus as the source of true joy in our lives. And this is what he says. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. For though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You know, the gift of new birth into a joy-filled living hope. This is what it is, what we receive when we put our faith and trust and belief in Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, who grew up, laid down his life for us, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and is coming back again. Knowing Jesus is the source of joy. A joy that helps to keep the challenges that we face in life in perspective. A joy that anchors our faith in the face of what is to come and secures our future. Joy. You know, C.S. Lewis indicates himself that the central story of his life had been that of his journey into joy. You know, his testimony is that he came to joy unexpectedly. He came to Jesus unexpectedly. Jacob Frollo says this as he shares a little bit about C.S. Lewis's testimony of how he came to faith in Jesus. He says, in his continued scholarship and discussion, Lewis began to gain a more fundamental idea of his joy. He wrote of being bothered by memories of joy and realized that I know that they were merely the mental track left by the passage of joy, not the wave, but the wave's imprint in the sand. There was no doubt that joy was a desire, but a desire is turned not to itself, but its object. Not only that, but its own, it owes all of its character to its object. Our intellectual desire, curiosity, to know the truth, true answer to a question, is quite different from our desire to find that one answer, rather than another, is true. Lewis had discovered that joy itself was not what he was seeking, but that which was behind the joy was actually what he sought. Progressively, he began to see that first God, then Jesus Christ himself, was the source of his experience of joy. Lewis took the absolute leap into the dark, professing belief in God as God. After debating the differences between Hinduism and Christianity, Lewis later professed belief in Jesus. He wrote, I know very well when, but hardly how, the final step was taken. I was driven to Whipsnade one sunny morning. When we set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But when we reached the zoo, I did. Now, you'd have to understand a little bit more about what he's describing there as far as how he came to faith. It was a long journey. It was a journey of, intellectual journey for him. He had to really come to grips with what he was trying to work all the things out about faith in God and Jesus and everything. And yet he started to feel this joy as he began to release more and more of what he was resisting to what God was trying to give to him in terms of the gift of eternal life in Christ. And one day he was out, he got on a bus to go from one place to another, and on that journey, that short journey, it suddenly, all the pieces just clicked together. And he realized, I believe in Jesus. He is my source of joy in my life. You know, like the shepherds, when the angels appeared proclaiming the good news of great joy to all people, Lewis had to complete his journey to find the source of joy in Jesus. And that's true for each one of us. Wherever we've started, you know, in a place of unbelief, you know, or a place of, you know, just searching, we have to take that journey. We have to take that journey to discover that source of joy, which we find when we find Jesus. So, I ask you today, what about you? You know, we started off with, what is it that brings you joy in your life and why? I ask you today, what about you? Where are you on this journey into joy that I've been describing today, from this story of the shepherds? Where are you? Where are you in that search for that unsatisfied desire which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction, that unquenchable, uncontainable, unbelievably transformative joy that is only found in Jesus? Where are you on that journey? Now, I encourage you today to hear the declaration of the angel and receive the good news of great joy that is for you today. And to look to the source of joy, Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit can infuse in your life the joy of your salvation, a new and living hope that God is holding out to you today. See, this is what the story of Christmas is all about. This is what the gifts of Christmas are all about. Hope, peace, joy. You know, it's all pointing to Jesus. Jesus. And may the hope and peace and joy of Jesus be found in you today as you make that journey, as you take that journey from where you are, wherever you are, to Bethlehem this Christmas. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this message of joy, and where we find joy, and where joy is in our lives. Lord, help us just to sort out all these things this morning. And may we make that journey, like the shepherds did, when they were told that Jesus was born, the Savior was born, that they went, they saw from themselves, and they were filled with joy. May each one of us have ears to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand all that you have for us today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.